The Veritas Radio Network is guaranteed the right to offend, annoy, agitate, shout heresy, and entertain.
You should start programming right now.
Kind of like the cultural sewage served up on Bravo or CMT, only it's on 24 hours a day, except Sundays. When the truth gets you angry and you throw your smartphone, remember, no one is forcing you to listen to the truth on the Veritas Radio Network.
You can't handle the truth.
You're doing that of your own free will. That's what makes this country great, and any gay marriage pointless.
That's offensive.
So there isn't much you can do about it, Chowderhead.
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Grab a book, take a vow, and conform your mind to reality. Reality. Otherwise, you're just another Judas-inspired Karl Marx wannabe,
and your children will steal your credit card number to buy tickets to the Miley Cyrus Twerkers Ball.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
Are you ready? Let's get it on. On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Folks, where I actually am delighted but I was correct. I usually come on and say, boy, howdy, do I hate being right all the time. Not today! How about Brexit for the rest of us? Oh, folks, we are loaded up for weak tea sucking remaining commie today. Woohoo! It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. Axing the question du jour.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I think you know the drill.
Oh, and remember, Friday is Hawaiian Shirt Day.
That's right!
So, you know, if you want to, go ahead and wear a Hawaiian shirt and jeans.
Charged with the task of telling us what it is we shall talk about here on the program. Telephone number to take me up on my kind, benevolent, beneficent offer of the use of these airwaves. Call 844-527-8723. Or if you're using the Veritas Radio Network app, all you got to do is press the Call Crusade Channel, and you'll be talking to moi. Our website at VeritasRadioNetwork.com. Hope you'll consider becoming a Founders Pass member today for as little as 23 cents per day. If you miss any portion of this program, or if you missed any portion of the previous Mark Kreslin show, you can download them at VeritasRadioNetwork.com, my website at MikeChurch.com. We are live and have been all over it today on the Twitter feed, at The King Dude, and on the Facebook Mike Church Show fan page. As a matter of fact, I told Maggie O'Connell, don't bother driving in here if you got to step away from the pomputer. You're not going to have another opportunity like today. I was thinking, what song am I going to play to serenade the Brexiters? Because, you know, we have, I think I revealed this a couple of weeks ago, we can track when somebody downloads an app from the iTunes Store or the Google Play Store, we can track what country it went to. And I noted about a month ago that there were 12, exactly 12, downloads of the Crusade Channel app in the UK. So people are, there's a good chance that someone is actually listening right now in the UK. So here's what I would play for you.
If the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the southern states. The day Elvis passed away would be our national holiday. If the South would have won, we'd have had it made.
Yeah.
I'd make my Supreme Court down in Texas. And we wouldn't have no killers getting off free. If they were proven guilty, then they would swing quickly. Instead of writing books and smiling on TV.
You tell them, Hank.
We'd all learn Cajun cooking in Louisiana. And I'd put that capital back in Alabama. We'd put Florida on the right track, cause we'd take Miami back. And throw all them pushers in the slammer. Oh, if the South would have won, we'd have had it made. I'd probably run for president of the southern states. The day young Skinner died, we'd show our southern pride. If the South would have won.
And how about we segue to this for the Brexit, for the rest of us? How about we segue to, help if you put the segue in there. If you know the whites, sing along at home.
Transmissions will resume.
Boy, it's paranoia in blue, brother.
To keep us all dumbed down and hope that we will never see the truth around. Another promise, another scene, another a package like to keep us trapped in greed. All a green belts wrapped around our minds, an endless red tape to keep the truth confined.
This is the rare instance where this chorus is actually correct. Choosy in her. Now, if you're one of the corruptocrats, one of the parasitian monks, as I call them, parasites in cassocks, that have been existing off the fruit of our labor, and you're in the Remain crowd, this one's for you. Mordor has been served notice, by the by. So, folks, Daniel Craig, James Bond got it wrong, but Bedazzled, Elizabeth Hurley got it right. There is so much to discuss here and to talk about. Let me give you the phone number one more time, because I'd love to hear what you people have to say about this. 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. Let us begin here today with a brief examination of what actually transpired yesterday. Now, I was talking with Mark Kreslin, our morning show host here on the Crusade Channel, And this is one-of-a-kind original radio. We have hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of people listening to today that never tuned into our channel before, thanks to the Brexit vote. Let me first welcome all of you. Take a seat. If you're driving, pull over. If you're standing, sit down. It's going to get really hot up in here. Let's review what actually happened yesterday. As I told Mark Crescens, the vote, you could say that the vote was to leave the corrupt criminal class that is the European Union. And you would be that would be partially correct. But what is it that is really being rejected here? What is it that is really on trial? I talked about this in the final segment of yesterday's broadcast. And if you missed it, you can download it at VeritasRadioNetwork.com and at MikeChurch.com. What is on trial here and what is just beginning to dawn on modern secular man? He doesn't know it yet. But there is residual grace out there that is communicating this to modern man and woman through their intellect. And that is this. There are two ways that you can control the affairs of men, or that men can be regulated. There is internal regulation and there is external regulation. The editor-in-chief of Chronicles magazine, Tom Fleming, in one of his really good books on our moral decline or on the road to perdition that we're on, termed it this thus. We need to see a return to obedience to the unenforceable. Now, what does obedience to the unenforceable mean? Obedience to the unenforceable means simply that you are obedient to things that cannot be enforced. That can only be internal. It can only be internal. So what is it that internally governs the affairs of man? Well, it is the grace that man will exist under when he conforms his mind to the reality that the natural law, that there is a natural law, that there is a natural code of conduct and ethics, and that can marshal and control your affairs. Now, of course, men have free will, and they always screw it up. We always screw it up. That's a given. There is no such thing as a perfect system because we're fallen after original sin and after Adam. Thanks, Adam. In the Garden of Eden, we're all filled with we're all born with original sin. But there is a preferable method of government, and it is the government that would exist when men are regulated internally. Now, this was actually tried. The irony here is that you had this vote in England or in the United Kingdom. And for almost 1,100 years, the UK was in observance of obedience to the unenforceable. Beginning in the early part of the 16th century, though, with the shenanigans of Henry VIII, that all went to pot. Thus the situation and thus the paradigm in which we are living today. So that's what was on. That's what's on trial. That is what modern man right now is considering. You can play the Clash, Should I Stay or Should I Go, or whatever song you wish to play about this. But at the end of the day, what is on trial and what is being considered right now is whether or not man is going to be regulated internally or externally. Currently, Thomas Hobbes, John Locke, and all the rest of them are ruling us by the external method. The governments that we live under are ruling us externally. Now, what happened in the vote yesterday? Now, this is just amazing. None of us have lived in a time like this, my friends. None of us have ever seen anything like this, folks. None of us can bear witness to anything that remotely resembles this. So what happened? What happened was, the criminal elite class was told to go pound sand. That's what happened. By a bunch of former peasant farmers from the English hinterlands. I was watching the Twitter feed last night. I was watching the expert commentary class boo-hooing into their weak tea. Literally, since it's the UK, it was weak tea. They were boo-hooing into it. And they were going like, if we're relying on the provincial vote, we're screwed. And boy, howdy, the provincial vote said no. Voted Brexit. A listener to the Mark Kresland show here on the Crusade Channel earlier this morning said the following. Mark, this really was or is the shot heard round the world. Boy, howdy, is that guy correct? 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Now, I got a couple of things that I'd like to add to this, and I'm not boasting and bragging about this. I'd just like to point out, if you were listening to yesterday's broadcast, you heard my conversation with Scott McConnell, who is one of the founding editors of the American Conservative magazine. When I asked him whether or not he thought Donald Trump was in Scotland at one of his golf resorts, if it was just a coincidence that Trump was there on the day of the Brexit vote, he just laughed. And he said something to the about the way that Trump was dressed and about that the image, the optics of it was kind of funny. You know, there's Trump running for president. He should be on a telephone raising funds, but no, he's on a golf course in Scotland instead. Now, I asked that question intentionally because my point was Trump is in Scotland today precisely because he knows what he's doing. Precisely because Donald Trump saw this coming. His candidacy is an indication of this coming. And that's the and so where would you rather be? Now just think about this. Obama goes to London last week and says, or 2 weeks ago, y'all, people of Great Britain, great people. They have got a great government. And, you know, the government of European Union does the world a lot of good. Trade and commerce and, you know, Europe's at peace. Europe's at peace. So, people ought to vote, remain. You ought to keep good government. You got good government. You ought to vote, remain. So saith I, Chairman Obama. Up there. So Obama goes over there and basically tells them to vote remain. Hillary, Mrs. Clinton, then parrots Obama. Well, I think that the British people should remain. And of course she would, because the Clinton Global Initiative milks tens of billions of dollars, NGO dollars, from the EU. A lot of people don't know this. Somebody wrote a story or was suggesting that a story should be written about the funding sources for the Clinton Global Initiative. Well, I concur. And they will write that story because it's public record and it's damning. So, folks, you see, the central bankers are losing it today. They're panicking. The Clintons and the Obamas are losing it. They're panicking. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, David Cameron, is going to step down today. And then we have this. If you're not overjoyed by this sand pounding that the official governments of the European Union have had hurled their way, there is no finer example of the media industrial, of the corrupt elite media industrial complex that has made tens of billions of dollars off of your and my labor and our misery than Christiane Amanpour.
Christiane Amanpour, CNN. Yes, we're live in London, in where the Remain vote is going to go,
this was early yesterday morning,
the Remain vote, the polls all show, you see, that the people, my people of Great Britain, actually she's from South Africa, but the people of Great Britain aren't stupid enough to leave a wonderful, magnificent central government such as the United Kingdom. This is Christiane Amanpour for CNN.
She is a emotional, poor excuse for a journalist. But CNN will pay her way and put her into situations where it appears as though she's credible. And, well, Christiane Amanpour has the story. She's live in Yemen, or whatever the case may be. Well, yesterday, Christiane Amanpour, I was reading this from the Rod Dreher at the American Conservative Magazine was blogging about this last night. I was reading it going like, I'm going to get that clip, and we have the clip here. As I type this, I am watching a British political analyst on CNN describe this as a stunning discrediting of the experts, all of whom thought Remain would win. Christian Amanpour has been kind of losing it. We have Christian Amanpour losing it on the Clinton News Network last night over Brexit.
This is obviously a very divided day for Britain. You've seen it's practically 50-50, not quite, but it's practically 50-50. Nigel Farage, the head of your party, made a very boisterous victory speech saying that this is a victory for real people.
Yes.
For ordinary people.
Yes.
For decent people.
Yes.
What about the rest of the half of Britain who didn't vote? What about the, you know, foreigners?
Let me put this straight for you. The fact is that if this government and its allies hadn't put in so many scare, smear stories, saying the roof was going to fall in, everything would go wrong, would be cast adrift, there'd be wild cats running around the streets, then we would have won by a far bigger majority. The fact is, most people who voted Remain were scared Remainers.
Mm-hmm. You know, you say the government has you know, had scare tactics which gave you a less big victory than you thought you would have
had. They scared people.
Yeah. Now, some people find your party very, very scary because of the divisiveness, the xenophobia, the
there
sort of anti-immigration.
No.
Some people find your party, say, oh, yeah, Bucko? Well, some people find your party. You and your snivelling little peasant class. You need to crawl back, Mr. Farage. You need to crawl back into your hole from which you came. You and the little people out there, they scared the bejesus belt out of people like me. Do you not see the fine clothes that I'm adorned with, sir? I am your sartorial superior, sir. I am your sartorial superior. Folks, it gets better, but I just wanted to stop and pause right there. People that wish to govern themselves scare the media industrial complex hacks like Christian Amanpour. Good. I'm glad you're scared.
The divisiveness, the xenophobia, the
that
sort of...
I forgot the xenophobia. The island of Great Britain was settled by definition by Caucasians, by Saxons. I mean, if you want to remain, you know, true to your or in line with your heritage and your hereditary nature and the race of your hereditary nature, well, that makes you then a xenophobe. Do you know what a xenophobe is? She didn't even know how to use the word appropriately. A xenophobe is someone that fears people that don't look like him or her, okay? That's what a xenophobe is. No one is running around with bulletproof vest on, hiding and cowering when a person of color approaches that I know of.
The divisiveness, the xenophobia, the
there
sort of anti-immigration.
No, all that right. Is absolutely wrong, Christian.
Well, let me see if you agree with this comment from the former chairman of the Conservative Party. This referendum campaign on the EU has delivered nasty divisiveness in industrial quantities, as always happens when nationalist sentiment is whipped up. The worst of the filth on immigration has been whipped up by Mr. Farage. How do you react to that? And particularly, obviously, with that horrible poster.
That is a party political statement. That is a party political statement.
Did you approve of the
poster?
That poster
came from a picture in The Guardian. Is The Guardian being excoriated for showing it?
No. The poster was a news poster of legitimate Syrian refugees coming to Slovenia.
Are we talking about legitimate Syrian refugees?
European refugees coming to Britain.
The head of the EU's... agency.
Are you defending that poster?
The head of the EU's agency.
I just want to know whether you are defending the poster. I am answering you.
The head of the EU's agency said 80% of the people that were coming through, supposedly Syrian, were not actually Syrians. They were migrants.
They were going to Slovenia, Mr. Finch. Do you accept that was a lie, that poster?
So, in other words, let's not talk about what just happened, that the ruling elite class in the European Union and in the Parliament just got their butts handed to them. Let's instead do what we do. You remember, she works for CNN, for the Clinton News Network. Let's do in the UK what works in America. Let me call you a racist, and all will be right with the world. Hey, Christian, You can't make this one go away with calling people a racist, sweetheart. It's not going to work this time. The vote already happened. The righteous indignation that is dripping through this, folks, she is livid over this. She cannot believe that there are peasants that will actually go to polling place. Now, look, you know what I have to say about democracy. I am not a fan. However, I do also say that truth, what is truth? Conformity of the mind to reality. What's the reality of what happened? The people of the United Kingdom agreed to have a vote. The ministers of parliament called the vote. The queen signed off on it. Oh, yeah, that's right, though. You're good at doing it. And had a vote. Here's the result. Leave the EU lost. Now, what's going on here is there's a disintegration that has now begun. Now, you see the disintegration away from the EU. There's another news story today that we have on our Twitter feed, and that is Geert Wilders, one of the MP equivalents, I guess, in the Netherlands, has now called for a vote, a referendum now in the Netherlands, that they should leave the EU. This is going to be the domino effect here, folks. Everyone that's studied this, everyone that's looked objectively at it, knows that the EU exists for the glorification of those that are employed by, work in, or are ministers in and of the EU. In other words, it's a scam. It's the world's greatest Amway scam. That's no insult to Amway members, but this is a pyramid marketing scheme. The EU just happens to be at the top. Hey, go out and recruit some other little members. Have you heard some of the news coming out of the United Kingdom this morning says that people that voted to remain are going to now cloister themselves into their own little republics inside the United Kingdom, and they're going to vote to go back into the EU. Here's the problem. There's not going to be an EU to go back to. Let's listen to just a bit more torture here. Christian Amanpour is interviewing Nigel Farage, one of the MPs, Ministers of Parliament, that was for Brexit. Hey, by the by, our telephone number, 844-527-8723. By the by, we had actors and actresses that were weighing in on this. James Bond lost, but Bedazzled won. Elizabeth Hurley was all over leave. All over. Daniel Craig was seen yesterday sporting some stupid T-shirt that said, "No man is an island," and was tweeting out that his countrymen were going to do the right thing and vote remain. 007, another 007 just took you out.
That was a lie, that poster. And are you prepared to continue with this divisiveness?
It's not divisiveness. It's telling the truth.
All right, well, we're not going to get beyond that. So let me ask you this. Mr. Farage has been the face of this victory, and he has been out there. Well, no, the face tonight. We haven't seen any of the other leaders. So he's been the face of this victory. When I asked the Conservative chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee, so is Mr. Farage now the face of this victory? He said, no, UKIP has delivered what they said they were going to deliver. They've delivered the referendum, and now they can, you know, thank you very much and go away.
He would say that.
So tell me what you plan for UKIP. What do you think Mr. Farage's future is?
Oh, absolutely. Well, the fact is, this is just opening the door. None of the changes in British culture, British society, the British political scene can happen until we leave the European Union. We've got a two-year gap between when Article 50 is activated and when we actually leave the EU. Mm-hmm. So in that time, what we want are things like a change to the electoral system. We want more and more referenda, local referenda, so people are more involved. Because what's happened in the past is people have just been used by the so-called mainstream political parties.
But I want to know what you think Nigel Farage's future is. Some have said he might get a peerage. Some have said, you know, he might become very powerful in a new sort of Brexit government? I mean, do you think that that's possible?
It depends entirely upon what happens to the Conservative Party. If the Conservative Party self-destruct, which is entirely possible because they are very, very divided, then we might see in a very short period of time, a new general election.
I want to ask you, you know, to comment on the following, because there are a lot of people who are very, very angry about Nigel Farage, and now we're seeing Marine Le Pen demanding a referendum in France, Geert Wilders demanding a referendum in the Netherlands, and these are people who are considered very far right.
It's not just them, though. Beppe Grillo in Italy, is asking for a referendum also.
Quote of the day from Baroness Varsi, who was a Leaver and then changed to Remain because of the poster.
She was never a Leaver.
She was a Leaver. She may not have been never a campaigner, but she was a...
All right, and there's more of this, and then there's this.
And the big business is...
What's next?
Migrant crisis proves critical in UK leave movement. Now you heard the question about, well, what do you say about this poster, you see? What do you say about these people are poor refugees, you see? You have to take these people in, you see. And who is it to say that you could be a xenophobe and not take these refugees in? Well, you're on an island. It would seem to me that if you live on an island and if you live there for 1,500 years, that you kind of have control of the island. If you don't want to immigrate Syrian refugees in, then don't immigrate them in. And if that was the catalyst, then again, bravo. But note the term. Did you note the terms?
Well, what about all this divisiveness that you're causing here?
Divisiveness? Your country just decided that it wished to reclaim and to regain its own sovereignty. What's divisive about that? For heaven's sake. It's not divisive. It's the exact opposite. It's unifying. Look, now, what's going to happen after all this? Go look at the polling map. You'll be shocked. The people of Scotland, my beloved Scotland, voted to remain. Vast majorities. And just as I have been telling you, that the last two generations of Scots have completely divorced and detached themselves from their heritage and from any tradition that they may have carried from their ancestors. And they're all in on European socialism. If you go to Scotland, what you'll find is the young people will use euros. They'll pay for everything in euros. The older people will pay for everything with British pound sterling, with BP money. And so what's Scotland going to do now? They already had one referendum on whether or not they wanted to secede from the UK. It's very likely now that they'll have another one and that they will vote to secede, and then they'll try to join the EU that's not going to be an EU anymore. Folks, just a thrilling time to be covering these things and to witness this. Now, how does this apply to America? Let me tell you how this applies to America. I started the program off today. And by the way, this is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. We are live, not a tape recording. It's not a podcast. We are a live radio show. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call the program, I would love to hear from you here today on a free phone Friday, 844-5-CRUSADE. I mentioned this earlier. Why is Donald Trump not on the phone with Republican hucksters raising money and concern and fretting over raising money? Why not? Why is Trump in the UK? Why is Trump in Scotland? Why is he at his golf course, Royal Turnberry? Well, it's very easy to explain. He had a hunch that the Brexit vote was going to go the way of Leave. He has been a strong and vocal supporter of the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. And so he's there in a show of support. Now think about this. We're told that we have to elect Mrs. Clinton because she has superior foreign policy skills. Who just made the correct foreign policy move, my friends? Who just made a huge leap towards building an alliance in foreign affairs? Was it Mrs. Clinton? and Barack Hussein Obama. Or is it Trumpzilla? If you're honest about it, you know that it's Trumpzilla. How do you like that, Doubting Thomas's? Boy, there's more on the Trump angle on this. I want to go to the telephones at 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. This is Paul in Ohio. First up here today on a Free Phone Friday on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good. Good morning. I'm ecstatic about what just happened. I was listening to what was going on. I got to say kudos to two Brits. One is Paul Joseph Watson of Prison Planet, because he is a Brit who has been putting out information. I was listening to him most of the time yesterday on InfoWars, and he was trying to tell the people that what they weren't telling them was if they didn't exit, they had more immigrants coming in, and they weren't telling these people. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout-out to Lord Monckton because he kicked their butts on the climate change and showed them that it was a farce, and because of the information that's available, the people are waking up. And in that one clip that you mentioned that we were listening to, it was a vote for subsidiarity. And that's what we need in this country. And on the final note, Mike, if you're in a nightclub, you have alcohol, you can't have your gun, or is what I understand. But I think that if we can have designated drivers, let's have a designated shooter, so that when you're in a nightclub, the one person's locked, loaded, and sober, and he can protect the backs of his buds. That's all I got to say.
All right, Paul, well, thank you. So you're ecstatic. I got it. Thank you. I'm ecstatic, too. Let's analyze some American history on this, shall we? By the way, this is a Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. If you like what you're hearing today, the Crusade Channel, on the Crusade Channel, why not join them? Join us. And gain instant streaming and download access to every episode of this show and all the others on the Crusade Channel, including the Mark Kreslin Show and yesterday's world premiere of the Constitution Hour with Professor Dr. Kevin Gutzman. You can subscribe to the Founders Pass by the month or by the year for as little as 23 cents per day. You can choose between a monthly or yearly membership, and during the month of June, if you subscribe and become a yearly Founders Pass member or better, we will ship you free of charge, don't cost nothing, a hardback copy of Life of Washington, Volume 1, the best biography of George Washington ever written, and we have it in hardback and with the beautiful dust cover. Free, don't cost nothing. Why not sign up today? We need your memberships in June. So go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join. That's VeritasRadioNetwork.com/join or call 866-483-3833. Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. And 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. If you'd like to be on the program today, call 844-5-CRUSADE. I want to take you back to 1773. Charles Carroll of Carrollton. Hang on, let me type this message here. Charles Carroll of Carrollton, man that signed the Declaration of Independence. He was the sole and only Catholic. Wait a minute. Should I put? No, I'm not going to play the air raid siren. Charles Carroll of Carrollton signed the Declaration of Independence. He's one of those 56 men that pledged his life, his fortune, and his sacred honor to the American cause at the time. And Charles Carroll of Carrollton, in 1773, by virtue of laws that were passed in the state of Maryland, had was ineligible to hold an office in the Maryland Assembly. And he was also ineligible to participate in free press exchanges simply by virtue of the fact that he was a Roman Catholic. Charles was made illegal, basically, because of his faith. But that didn't stop him from writing. And if you know anything about Charles Carroll of Carrollton, you know that he was one of Brad Berzer in his book calls him American Cicero. You know that Charles Carroll of Carrollton was one of the brightest and most brilliant of all the founding father class. He doesn't get much credit for this because he was very modest and humble. I've read this on the air before here, and I'd like to share this with you because this will just put an American put the Brexit vote in an American context here, using a brilliant piece of American history that most people, if they haven't read this book or if they don't have old copies, 1773 copies of the Maryland Gazette laying around, yeah, everybody has that, right, would not know about. They would not know about it. The election held in Maryland throughout the month following the third letter did far more, and this is Brad Berzer writing this, did far more than vindicate Charles Carroll and his allies. A Protestant planter might have written with less hyperbole than he originally intended when he wrote a week after the third letter and Charles Carroll was writing under the pen name, because he could not reveal his true identity. He was writing under the pen name First Citizen. That's important to remember. First Citizen. First Citizen has spoken, not outrageously, to sentiments of more than 9/10 of the people. Further, notwithstanding the opinion they affect to entertain of his life, his morals, his religion, or his knowledge, I am persuaded the majority of the people entertain far more favorable sentiments of him and think him no less elevated by nature than fortune, and that his mind, enriched with knowledge, bears the stamp of honor and dignity. Now, what this guy is writing about is, hey, man, we got a brilliant dude here, and he's one of us, but we can't let him be part of our affairs because he's a Catholic. And so they locked him out, basically. Now, this is tragic here. And the people that know Charles Carroll of Carrollton know just how brilliant he is and just how useful and productive he would be to their cause. So Charles Carroll of Carrollton has been writing then under the pen name of the a First Citizen. So you're right. And so these letters have been published in the Maryland Gazette. This Protestant farmer is writing about Charles Carroll of Carrollton's letters. Hang on, folks. Christopher, let's go to a break. Let's take a time out here. It's Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network, radio the way it should be. I'll continue this in a minute.
Most Crusade Channel wannabes only get the mission half right.
Men, you are about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West.
So why settle for half-baked radio hacks crusading in mono when you can get the real deal on the Mike Church Show?
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well.
In stereo, oh, oh, oh. The Mike Church Show's Great Crusade is on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade.
Citizen soldiers, I'm here at the order of General Robert E. Lee, commanding all Virginia forces. On April 15th of this year of our Lord, 1861, Simon Cameron, the Secretary of War of the United States, sent a telegram to our governor, John Letcher, directing him to raise 3 regiments of infantry to be sent to assist in suppressing the Southern Confederacy. Governor Letcher's answer is well known to you, but perhaps not his words. His wire to Washington stated, "You have chosen to inaugurate civil war. And having done so, we will meet you in a spirit as determined as the Lincoln administration has exhibited toward the South." 2 days later, the Virginia legislature voted for secession. Just as we would not send any of our soldiers to march in other states and tyrannize other people, so will we never allow the armies of others to march into our state and tyrannize our people. Like many of you, indeed most of you, I've always been a Union man. It is not with joy or with a light heart that many of us have welcomed secession. Had our neighbors to the north practiced a less bellicose form of persuasion, perhaps this day might not have come, but that day has been thrust upon us like it was thrust upon our ancestors. The Lincoln administration required us to raise 3 regiments. Tell them we have done so.
Hey, welcome back. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be. Asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Fathers Red Pill. Sprinkle with a few drops of holy water. Unplug the matrix cable from the back of your head. Claim your Philosophia Perennis thinking skills. Become members of the self-governing people of the Brexit-inspired United States. Not a job, it's a way of life, folks. Website at VeritasRadioNetwork.com and at MikeChurch.com. I apologize to those of you that were listening earlier and got bumped off the shoutcast, which is the vehicle that the software vehicle that delivers the radio station to you and to the app and to everywhere else. We do have a backup, though, and I should just say this now so that if this ever occurs again, you'll know where to go. And the backup is the YouTube. If you go to Official King Dude, we stream this show in my ugly mug. Hi, Mom. How you like the Hawaiian shirt bow tie on a Friday is Hawaiian shirt day, right? We stream a backup audio and video feed, or a live audio and video feed on Youboo. And it's on the app. If you have the app and the listen live button goes out, the audio stream crashes again because our serving company can't seem to find the resource to dedicate to this magnificent endeavor of ours and allocate the resources to that is required. Then hop on over to the YouTube stream, because apparently the YouTube servers can handle the traffic. Now, I have sent a scathing message to the proprietors of said service and told them that this is unacceptable. Folks, the show and the channel have been building momentum. The last couple of weeks, we see it every day, and there's been 3 times in the last 2 weeks when this show was about to go viral and a server crashed. All I can do is apologize to you. I know that it's not that it interrupts listening, and it's certainly not productive to what it is that we're trying to do here. We're aware of it. There's no need for you to send me hate mail. There's no need for you to yell at me on the Twitter feed or send me a text message. Hey, do you know the server's down? Yes, we know the second it goes off. We monitor it. Anyways, the Brexit vote. I want to get into this. I wanted to tie this to an event in American history. And that is, in 1773, Charles Carroll of Carrollton County, a young, very wealthy Charles Carroll, was not allowed in official political societies in the state of Maryland. Why not? This is what I was about to get into when the server crashed. Charles Carrollton was a Roman Catholic. There were juring laws against Catholics. They could not participate in legislative affairs by law. Yet, his countrymen knew Charles, and they knew how brilliant he was. Brad Berzer, in his biography of Berzer effect fame, in his biography of Charles, called him American Cicero. There's a reason for that. So Charles's countrymen knew how brilliant he was. And they began agitating to the Maryland Assembly. And I got to remember, now it's still under royal control at that time. They began agitating to the royal governor and the assembly that, hey, man, you guys need to change that rule so Charles can have a chance to join the assembly and participate in our debates over independence. Meanwhile, Charles is writing to the local newspaper, the Maryland Gazette, and he was writing to the Gazette to talk about, to write about this situation and about independence, and he writes under the pen name First Citizen. Well, contained in this part of what I'm about to share with you is one letter written by a Protestant farmer about First Citizen. Well, apparently, the Protestant farmer knows who who First Citizen is. He knows the real identity of the man that is using the pen name First Citizen. A Protestant planter might have written with less hyperbole than he originally intended when he wrote. A week after the third letter, that the First Citizen has spoken, not outrageously, the sentiments of more than 9/10 of the people. Further, notwithstanding the opinion they affect to entertain of his life, his morals, his religion, or his knowledge, I am persuaded the majority of the people entertain more favorable sentiments of him and think him no less elevated by nature than fortune, and that his mind, enriched with knowledge, bears the stamp of honor and dignity. Now you, Mr. Church, please, what does that have to do with Brexit? It has everything to do with it. Let me get to the punchline. True to Protestant planters' predictions, the anti-fee, now remember, this is happening in 1773. And it's recounted in Berzer's book, American Cicero. Actually, I published this at MikeChurch.com back in the old station in the old country. I tried to find it this morning, and I'll keep looking for it until I do. This will suffice. True to Protestant planters' predictions, the anti-fee, anti-proprietary forces performed exceedingly well in the elections. As early as May the 14th, 1773, the forces behind Charles had achieved a considerable victory, as Ronald Hoffman, one of the best historians of the period, has written, with a broadly based political faction developing around him a man who still had not the right to vote. So Carroll couldn't vote in the election. He ginned up support for the election, but because he was a Catholic, they wouldn't let him vote in the election. That was the state of affairs in Maryland in 1773. Gets better. Now, listen to this. For those of you that are tuning in for Brexit talk, I'm sharing with you an epoch in American history that is very similar, and how the Marylanders, the people of Maryland, waged or executed their Brexit from the tyranny of the Maryland Assembly in 1773. Listen to this. You're going to love this. By the way, our telephone number, 844-5-CRUSADE. To celebrate their victory, an assembly of the free men of Annapolis held a mock execution and funeral of Governor Eden's 1770 proclamation. And that's the proclamation that made Charles illegal, basically. Here's the account from the Maryland Gazette, quote, "First were carried two flags with the following labels. On one, Liberty. On the other, No Proclamation. Annapolis's representatives to the lower assembly William Paca and Matthias Hammond walked between the two flags. A mock clerk, sexton, and gravedigger accompanied the representatives and the coffin. The proclamation was cut out of Antion's first paper and deposited in the coffin, near which moved slowly on two drummers with muffled drums and two pipers playing a death march. After them were drawn six pieces of small cannon, followed by a great concourse of citizens and gentlemen from the country who attended the funeral. The assembly hung the coffin. Okay, so now they put the proclamation that made Charles Carroll of Carrollton illegal. They put the proclamation in a small handcrafted coffin, and then they had this procession with cannon and with the two flags, and then they hanged it. like they were executing a criminal. They hanged it, and that's where we pick up. The assembly hung the coffin and then buried it. The following was inscribed on the coffin. Quote, "The proclamation, the child of folly and oppression, born the 26th of November, 1770, departed this life, 14th of May, 1773, and buried on the same day." At the end of the report, the Maryland Gazette printed a threatening note to the members of Governor Eden's court. Quote, "It is wished that all similar attempts against the rights of a free people may meet with equal abhorrence, and that the court party, convinced by experience of the impotency of their interest, may never hereafter disturb the peace of the city by their vain and feeble exertions to bear down the free and independent citizens." 3 days after the mock funeral, Representatives Paca and Hammond issued an official and public thank you to the first citizen. Quote, "Your manly and spirited opposition to the arbitrary attempt of government to establish the fees of office by proclamation justly entitles you to the exalted character of a distinguished advocate for the rights of your country," they wrote. Even more importantly, they offered the thanks of the entire community. "Public gratitude, sir, for public services is the patriot's dues, and we are proud to observe the generous feelings of our fellow citizens towards an advocate for liberty." So they took the proclamation, put it in a coffin, hanged it, buried it, put a gravestone on it, and mocked their, at that time, equivalent of European Union or American federal overlords. Put that in your collective big government centralized tyranny pipe and smoke it. It's Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network at 844-527-8723, 844-5-CRUSADE. Here is Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com with us today to see what's playing at the Paradise Theater. Of course, Debbie's with us every Friday here, and you can read her blog every day of the week at DebbieDoesPolitics.com. Hey, Debbie, how about that Brexit vote?
Hi. Well, you know, if I were in Britain like you, I would have voted for the Brexit. On the other hand, as I've written on my website, DebbieDoesPolitics.com, it's really kind of irrelevant because the Muslim population there is growing by leaps and bounds, and the biggest issue was immigration, mostly the Muslim immigrants coming over, and they didn't need visas to travel within the EU. Well, it's already too late. Listen, in 2011, the Muslim population of England was 4.5%. Now it's 5.4%. As of January 10th, 2014, one in every 10 babies born in England were Muslim. And by 2051, that's 35 years from now, Britain will be half Muslim by population, according to the current trend models regarding birth rates. So, you know, it's kind of irrelevant. They, you know, England deported and expelled all of their Jews in the 1200s. They didn't allow them to come back, I think, till like 1656. And the Jews never did anything to Britain. But, you know, the Muslim population, there were neighborhoods where there are, it's half Muslim already in London. And you can't go there. They say there's really no such thing as a no-go zone. Well, try going there if you're a woman and you're not covered from head to toe in a garbage bag with two eye slits. And you're going to be harmed and ridiculed and attacked. And we know that there have been cases recently where they groomed all kinds of young kids and molested them and raped them and so on. A whole bunch of them were just convicted in the latest episode of that. So the Brexit, I'm glad that they had the guts to exit the EU Marxist organization, but pretty much they've lost their country because they did nothing. And now you've got this mayor of London who's the first Muslim mayor, and he is banning all of these pictures of sexy women. He claims it's because of body image, and he doesn't want daughters to have to grow up and think they need to be thin. But the real reason is because of Islam. He doesn't want pictures of women uncovered. And, you know, this is what they're coming to in England.
Do you know what happens when you corner the Anglo-Saxon people of Great Britain and threaten them? Do you know
well,
what happened?
I'd like to say it's like, what is it, Braveheart, where they do rebel, but
right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, what happens is when the Muslim mayor tries to force feed, because look, they won't accept their Anglican church, the Church of England. I mean, they've basically purged Christianity from their shores. There are some remnants of it. And there is a revival of sorts of the Catholic faith in Great Britain, but it's very small, Debbie. So what's going to happen when homeboy tries to force feed them Sharia law?
Well,
they're going to have a war.
That's the problem.
They're going to have a war. They're going to have to kick him out or them out.
We will see. I mean, Boris Johnson, who was the previous mayor, who, by the way, was also, I think, half or a quarter Muslim, but renounced all of that. He was for the Brexit. I mean, he was the previous mayor. Now it's this Muslim guy. And I think things are going to get worse because demographically, London is going to quickly become a Muslim city. And I've got photos on my website, a map of actually of Great Britain, and you can see the growing neighborhoods throughout Britain as they're becoming more and more Muslim, and it has the years that they become Muslim and so on. And by the way, 85%, or maybe it's 81%, but it's pretty high. In a survey of British Muslims, were asked, do you consider yourself British or Muslim? And the result was that 81% said Muslim. So this is the new Britain, Brexit or no Brexit. I think it's going to become irrelevant because all of Europe is quickly becoming Muslim because they allowed themselves to be infiltrated by millions of Muslims just in the last couple of years. It's going to
well,
be a disaster.
There's a history to there's a history of the European countries that says for 1,200 years they fought and they had wars, never-ending wars. Against the Ottoman Empire, against the Muslims of Arabia, against the Muslims of Northern Africa, all of these lands were at one time Christian, and the Muslim hordes went in and took them over, and they assaulted, for example, Spain for 813 years. It took the Spanish to kick the Mohammedans out, and now in a fit of political correctness. After World War II, they basically were told, if you don't invite them in, then you're just a bunch of racist, bigot, homophobe, Christian zealots. And as Europe became more and more secular and less Christian, they bought it. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. They invited the enemy in, just like you said. Now they're stuck with them.
Right.
They're stuck with them.
To me, and I wrote this on my website, the Brexit vote is like a fat chick who is England voting to exit, you know, the EU, is like a fat chick who insists on drinking Diet Coke as she's consuming this giant double cheese pepperoni pizza. They're not paying attention to the pepperoni pizza and
that's right.
their Muslim population. The Diet Coke is not going to change the obesity problem for
now,
you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, my dear. Now, I want to run something past you since we've had a little trouble with our we had such a rush to listen to this show today. We basically melted our audio server, even though it's allegedly scalable and can go up to a five-digit amount of concurrent listeners. But it failed us tremendously today. So we're still recuperating from that and inviting our listeners to come back and listen to the show. So I'll ask you this question. Was it any accident that Donald Trump just happened to be in the UK today?
I mean, I think he scheduled this on purpose, and it's funny because Scotland, I think, was the only country where they voted not to Brexit. The majority of them voted
right.
not to do the Brexit.
Yeah, but
now he's gloating over them, and I think they're having people wear these hats, make Turnberry great again, which is this golf course.
Now,
they are.
This is
wearing those ads today.
But wait a minute. Now, I brought this up earlier when, right at the time the server was crashing. Okay. So Obama goes over there 2 weeks ago and says, oh, you need to stay in the European Union. It's good deal. Great Britain makes a great country in the EU. You need to remain, need to be the vote. I need to continue having David Cameron as prime minister, deal with him. But you need to vote remain. So Obama basically orders the Brits to vote to remain. Mrs. Clinton then parrots him. They should remain in the European Union. Who made, and then Trump is, of course, anti-Obama and Clinton and is for Brexit, appears yesterday during the vote. I mean, he went to Scotland yesterday. He didn't go this morning. He went yesterday. And because a big hoop-de-doo press conference today, we're told that we must vote for Mrs. Clinton. And one of the reasons why is because of her superior intellect and her superior skills in foreign affairs. Now, the United Kingdom is going to be independent of the European Union. The American political class, by and large, wanted the Brits to stay in the EU. That didn't happen. Who made an ally happier and made a better foreign policy play?
Well,
Mrs. Clinton or Trump?
I think that Hillary should pay attention to this because
that's right.
That wave of sentiment that was throughout Europe, because I really thought that the Britons, that it was fixed and that the Brits, even if they voted for Brexit, it would end up being against Brexit and they would stay in the EU because a lot of things in Great Britain are fixed. So I think she's better pay attention to this because that wave of anger and that illegal immigration invasion sentiment
That's right.
is sweeping the West. It swept America. It's not good for her. It's very good for Trump here. And I do like the dynamic that you mentioned about him being there and who made the better foreign policy decision. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I just think the knock on him has been, well, he's not skilled in foreign affairs, and he's going to ruin our foreign policy, and he's not going to make war in all these countries, and he says that NATO ought to end and all this stuff. NATO is now on the chopping block, brothers and sisters. If you're not paying attention, you need to wake up and smell the very strong British tea that is percolating today. Now, what is playing at the Paradise Theater? Did you get a
All
chance
right.
to see the new ID4, or do we have to wait? Is that embargoed?
ID2, I did see that, and that is today. It opens today, but let me just tell you, it was not screened for critics. Which usually means the studios themselves know it's horrible, and that is the case here. I went to see it last night on my own. It was so bad, I thought Scientology made it. And it reminded me of, you know, those, like, Earth in the Balance or whatever
yeah,
it's called, or Earth
right,
and Beyond.
Right,
you know, those
right.
Scientology movies,
right.
the one with John Travolta, and then there was another one, Will Smith and his son. And they're just so bad, and this was worse, all right? This was so boring. Like, I was very thirsty, and I kept thinking, I saw a lot of people leaving the theater going to get refreshments because they thought it was boring, too. And I was thinking, you know, if I went to go get a Coke and I came back, I wouldn't have missed anything. And I was right. I should have gone to get the Coke. It just went on and on and on. It was stupid. And by the way, the president in the movie is Celia Ward, a woman who's got mom hair like Hillary. I mean, this was a Hillary Clinton campaign commercial. It makes her look tough. And the thing that really made me sick was at the beginning of the movie, Celia Ward is practicing a speech about how now we're all one world and one people, and all the nations of the world have put away their differences and we work together. And they show the U.S. Capitol building with flags, without an American flag hanging from the top, from that little Indian statue above the rotunda. Instead, they show flags of all the different countries hanging from the U.S. Capitol, from the walls of it. And I was thinking, what? What has happened? And then when this alien spaceship is coming towards the U.S., they have to decide if they're going to blow it up or not. Celia Ward has this council of all the different major world leaders, and she has to poll them before they decide what to do. So basically, why is there an American president anymore? It's just ridiculous, this movie. And then the group of fighter pilots each fly for a different country. You got a Chinese pilot, you got pilots from various countries.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
right.
This is a one world.
Hey, did they have the little people guy from Game of Thrones? Was he a pilot too?
No, he's not in there.
Oh, nope. Well, hey, how fair is that?
I know it's not fair to little people, but they do have the former president Bill Paxton who has like
Bull Pullman,
kind of,
you had
like,
it right.
Alzheimer's, they think, but really he knows exactly what's going on. So what happens, the story is that this spaceship is coming towards Earth, and Celia Ward and all the leaders want to blow it up, and Jeff Goldblum and the former president don't want it blown up because they think it's a friendly spaceship, which it turns out it is, but they don't know that, and they try and blow up the ship, and then they bring it down. All right, then there's a giant spaceship that's even bigger, that's 3,000 miles wide in diameter, and that spaceship is the enemy spaceship from the aliens from 20 years ago who all came back and now are going to try and destroy the Earth, and they're wreaking havoc on it and so on. And then even though they have way more power and better technology than we Earthlings, somehow we're able to get in the spaceship and blow up the mother alien. It doesn't make sense. It's preposterous. The CGI is ridiculous. The aliens are stupid. The whole thing was annoying as heck, and I was bored to tears, and I kept thinking, I should snooze during this because it's just not worth it. But I guess I wasn't tired enough. I hated this movie. I would give it, I guess, 2 Mark IIs and 2 L. Ron Hubbard.
two L. Ron Hubbards. Now, I have to ask, at the end of the film, does everyone get a planet?
if only. I guess that would happen in a multicultural
galaxy. Oh, well, what kind of Scientology flick is it if everyone doesn't get a planet? I mean, come on.
No, but they destroy the aliens and all is good in the world.
Yay.
Now, the Free State of Jones, that's this summer's Black Lives Matter, 12 Years a Slave movie. Matthew McConaughey plays this real-life guy named Newton Knight. Are you familiar with him?
I am not, but I've seen all the trailers. So,
all right. So he's from Mississippi, from the county of Jones. He's a nurse in the Civil War. He sees all these people being dying and being maimed and everything. And then they tell them that whoever owns 20 slaves could go home and doesn't have to fight. And he's mad because he doesn't own any slaves and he doesn't grow cotton and he feels he's fighting a rich man's war. So, this got a Bernie Sanders Occupy Wall Street kind of feel to it also. And then his little brother comes for him telling him they're stealing all our stuff, that the Confederate soldiers are taking everyone's food and everyone's crops and their horses and their livestock. Because they need it, and they're just taking it from people, and they don't have anything to eat.
Right.
So he becomes a deserter.
I wonder how they got starved. I wonder why they needed the food.
I mean, they were at war, right? So,
well, they needed the food because Sherman and the boys were burning the crops down and slaughtering the livestock. Duh.
All right. So basically they show the Confederates as a bunch of corrupt,
of course,
evil killers.
That's right.
And the movie was very heavy-handed. And so this guy, Newton Knight, bands together with a bunch of slaves that have escaped. And then ultimately, he riles up everyone in Jones County and everyone in two or three of the surrounding counties, and they build the militia and they fight the Confederates, and they try to ally with General Sherman. And then he, by the way, the guy abandoned his wife and his son in the movie and starts taking up with this black slave and has a kid with her. And she's a slave from some master who rapes her. I did the research on this Newton Knight guy, and apparently the woman was actually his grandfather's slave. There's nothing about him raping her. And he lived on a farm with his white wife that he did abandon during all of this time. He had 9 kids with her, and then he had 15 kids with the slave. And then it was some kind of cult kind of atmosphere. The kids, the white kids and the black kids, married each other. So the half-brothers and sisters married each other and had kids with each other. And during this movie, they keep weaving it in and out, flash-forwards to the 40s or 50s, where this guy is married to this woman. They're both white, but he's on trial for the miscegenation laws because he's 1/8 black, and it comes out that he's a descendant of Newton Knight. They don't tell you about the 9 kids and the 15 kids and the incest and all that, because then that would make this take away from this movie and the vibe that they want, which is to rile people up and incite them about slavery and all that. Which, you know, listen, my family wasn't here during slavery, so I don't think I'm responsible in one iota. But even if your family was, you didn't do those things. You're not. It's ridiculous. And I mean, maybe the people in Africa have it better off than the people in America. I don't know.
I got to ask the question, does Matthew McConaughey need the money that bad? I mean, he's got the Lincoln commercials. That's got to pay the mortgage. Why volunteer for an ahistorical send-up that is just so brazenly has an agenda? And it's fine for a film to have an agenda, but can you at least get the story right? We have a movie critic here that disproves the story here. And I bet you're going to be the only critic that's going to go to the length and go like, I wonder if this guy actually exists, and actually tell the real story.
Right. I agree with you.
So good job.
But he will. And the other thing is, I think Matthew McConaughey is a liberal. I think he's a big liberal. I think he likes this kind of stuff. I think he thinks he's going to get nominated for an Academy Award for this, and I think he probably will. He may even win it. And not only that, but, you know, his wife, I think he sees himself as some kind of Newton Knight imitator. His wife was an illegal alien from Latin America.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, she worked here illegally as a model and a hotel maid. And, I think that he is on the side of those kinds of things.
Well, I got to say that it's quite a change of affairs that He-Man and action star man, Matthew McConaughey, you know, he's all masculine and virile and everything, goes in the opposite direction in his career to win an Academy Award. And then the effeminate liberal, who we all know is a tree-hugging lunatic, Leonardo DiCaprio, goes and wins his Academy Award by fighting a manly man's fight with a grizzly bear.
Right.
It doesn't get any – you can't get a greater dichotomy than that, can you?
That's true. You're right. It's a great point. Now, the last two movies, The Neon Demon, this is a horrible movie. It's about this aspiring model played by Elle Fanning. and these other two models who are established are jealous of her, and this makeup artist is in love with her, but she turns the makeup artist down. So the makeup artist has necrophilia with the cadaver that she's doing makeup on and thinks of the model. Yeah, and then the two other models kill and eat the model they're jealous of, and an eyeball pops out of one of their mouths, and then they throw up. And there's also a shower scene that's a lesbianic.
Oh, what a great film.
Horrible.
Oh, good grief.
So, four Marxes, four Obamas, more Michelle, Yvonne Robinson, Hussein Obama, and Yemin Dadas. And then finally, there's The Shallows, starring the lovely and beautiful Blake Lively. Now, this movie really kind of belongs. It's not a summer movie. It's not that big to me. It's kind of like a Lifetime movie or something that's a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to Mexico and surfs alone in this secluded beach where her late mother once surfed. And a shark bites her, and she's trying to escape, and the shark is trying to kill her, and she's trying to survive. I didn't realize sharks were that smart and sharks were that vindictive, because the shark, like, trails her, and the shark, she goes on a buoy, whatever, however you pronounce it, and then the shark, like, tries to destroy the buoy, and it's just, it just was not believable
Debbie,
at
make
all.
It, make it stop,
entertaining
please.
In a campy kind of a way.
Oh, make it stop.
I guess I will give it half a Reagan.
All right, I have to tell you what's going on right now. So
yeah.
we talked a little bit about Trump winning the Brexit vote, foreign policy derby. Mrs. Clinton is now out scrambling and sending text messages to her buddies that work inside the newsroom at CNN, and informing them while they're covering Trump. That, hey, I support the outcome of the vote. I support the UK now. I'm like, oh, so you can just see. You you know what's funny about this, Debbie? I have to talk to somebody about this. You know what's funny about this? Yesterday, or 2 days, today's Friday. Wednesday, Trump was dead, according to CNN. Jake Tapper, David Gregory, all of the usual suspects at the National Review and the Heritage Foundation and the Weekly Standard and all the other corruptocrat fake conservatives had all proclaimed the Trump campaign dead. He fired his campaign manager. He's got a family squabble going on. It's all over. It was this reality show that we're involved, that we're embroiled in. And right now is a reality TV show. That's exactly what it is. And Trump just cleaned Hillary's clock, Debbie. I want to repeat that if you're just tuning in. Trump just cleaned Hillary's clock. Where would Hillary go and hang out in Scotland anyway? She wouldn't have anywhere to go. Would she go to the Queen's Palace? The Queen can't get involved in any of this stuff. She was basically silent on the matter. But I guarantee you, Queen Elizabeth's going to come out on the balcony and go like, oh, well, I'm delighted to see that we're reclaiming our sovereignty. It's a great move for the people of the United Kingdom. Guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
I bet you the Queen says nothing. She doesn't get involved in politics because she's involved in
business. No, she'll have to say something about this. This is a huge... Well, or Charles will.
Listen, they're involved in branding. The
yeah,
royal family
well,
is a brand now. It's a product. It's not really anything about any leadership and any authority.
But you
we'll
got,
see.
Right, but you got to love this. You got to love the maneuver. I mean, he's allegedly dead. The campaign's over. It's broken, all this other stuff. And then here Friday, Trump's now ascending. He's got the headline back. He just clocked
that's
her.
That's a great idea. I mean, that's a great point. And we'll see if the American press... The mainstream media, if they... Who cares?
Look, all the media, Debbie, all the media in Great Britain totally blew this. I'm the only media figure that got this right. I called this yesterday that if you think that YouGov is reliable, then go ahead and marry yourself to the Remain vote. It was never going to be close. I was talking to a friend in the UK, and he goes, you know, if this scare campaign, if they hadn't assassinated him, I mean, think about this, Debbie. Poor Joe Cox was killed for the Remain campaign.
Well, you know what? I don't feel so sorry for her because she was a big supporter of Hamas and Islamic terrorism. So she you get a taste of terrorism and what happens every day to innocent Jews and Christians all over the Middle East. I don't feel sorry for her, but you're right. She died for Remain, and
she died.
Bye-bye.
She was a martyr for Remain, and Remain went down in flames. Right. All right, and of course, you know, the Fox News headline. How else could they cover this other than the headline? Brexit leave votes impact on Britain's national security. They don't just obsess over our, quote, national security that couldn't prevent Mohammedans in our midst two in the last 6 months now. Now they have had to obsess over the national security of Great Britain. Nice job, Fox News.
Right.
Debbie, thank you.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. So that's Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com. Read her blog every day of the week. This is, we're going to stay on the phones, and then we'll take a time out here. Why? Because we can. This is Chuck in Illinois. Chuck is next up here on the Mike Church Show on a free phone Friday here on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
How you doing, Mike?
I am well, sir. Thank you.
Hey, a question for you. I'm a knuckle-dragging, truck-driving flip phone user, so I got to listen to your show on day of delay. And yesterday you were talking about the Oregon issue with the guy who has no gender now. My question is, no one's talking about, what happens when this guy does something illegal and he's got to go to prison? Where is he going to go? The dog pound? The woman's prison? The male prison?
Chuck, that's a great point. Well, we're going to have to learn to stop segregating the criminal class by sex, right?
Right.
That's bigoted.
So when the government comes for all of us for doing the right thing, I'm going to say I'm a dog. I'll go to the dog pound and hang out with the puppies.
Well, you know, I did a show about a month ago or so, or 6 weeks ago, or so ago, on this very subject. What if I want to be trans species? Why be limited to transgender? It's so limiting, and you people are a bunch of bigots who wish for me to stay as a human. What if I want to be a canine? I should be able to soul, as you just said. We're going to have to build a puppy prison now.
Yep. There are people who are out of their minds. That's all there is to it.
Well, Brexit for the rest of us, brother.
Oh, yeah. Pray for secession.
All right. Hey, Chuck, thank you. Great point.
All right. We'll see you, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. 844-527-8723. It's the Mike Church Show here. We'll take a time out and be back with segment two, live from the UK. Lori Calhoun will join us here, and we'll get her take on all this and yours on a Free Phone Friday. It's the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Channel, part of the Veritas Radio Network. Radio the way it should be.